So, this morning, we're talking about worship, and this is going to all play off of something that our church takes very seriously. Now, we don't, as you come in, say, guess what, we got these four things, and if you're not doing them. No, we don't do that. But there are four things in our church that we're very passionate about. Unity, the unity of the body, everybody is one, all right? The scripture, we don't do anything unless it comes out of here. We try to, no matter what the world says, do it like it says in here. And if we learn it and we're not doing it, we change it. That's just, you know, here. We're trying to stay here, all right? Missions, and that is go and do, not sit ye here for in all the pews and make friends of one another. That's not what it says. It says go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. So that's important to us, that we're going and that we're doing it. Let me stop for just a second and chase a rabbit and go, we have begun to do a fantastic job. A fantastic job of getting out in our community. People are starting to hear. People are starting to know that we are a giving church, okay? Now, that has a bonus and a minus. The bonus is, yay! We're doing it. That's good. We're changing the tone of Nicholasville Baptist Church. That also has a minus. I don't want you just to write a check. See, a year and a half ago, with everybody in our little 40, 50 member congregation, you know, 20, 30 of them would do. They didn't give, but they would all do. And then I got a buddy who's in a church down the road, and he says, I can't get anybody to do because they can all write a check. So they write checks and ask other people to do it. You got to be both. You got to be both. We shouldn't, and I realize, we have probably the fastest growing children's ministry in the city. That's not, I'm not bragging, that's just reality, all right? We shouldn't have a problem every single week trying to fill spaces that need to be filled. Yet Cy spends from 10:15 to 10:45 when she's supposed to be meeting with the leaders, running around here trying to pick somebody. This morning it happened to be Nicole Moulton, to go back there to fill a spot that somebody else didn't fill it. Once in a while, that's nothing. That happens. Every week, 5 weeks ago, six spots. That shouldn't happen. Okay? Shouldn't happen. You give and you serve locally. Here's the other thing that we need to do. We've got to go. Well, correct my schedule. There's your problem. You have to use the word I or my, it's a problem. It's not your schedule, it's not your family, it's not your children, it's not your house, it's not your car. It's His car. You understand that? It's God's. And you are being a steward of it. Does that make sense? All right. Now, we need to do a better job of going. My goal is, we had to cancel the New Orleans trip about 3 weeks ago. My goal is, next spring, early summer, let's get 10, 12, maybe to 20 people down to the city of New Orleans, working, playing, stocking shelves, feeding people, whatever. All right, and sometime next fall, late fall, let's get to either some of the places we're praying about, Ghana, to the orphanage where we sent the money to the girl, and let's love on the pearls there. Or let's get to Belize, where Joe is serving, and we would love to go down there and see her. Or let's get to Haiti, where we have some people that are already embedded in the culture and who understand how to go and do missions, and they collect shirts, and they collect Bibles, and they collect, and it all flies in. Let's go with people God has already given us in our congregation, and let's go. I don't care if it's 4 or 10. We can't talk about going, not about going. We need to go. Do you understand? Well, I'll pay for somebody, but that's not what I'm asking. Well, I can't leave my wife with... If God calls you to go, you can leave your wife with 2 kids or 20 kids. If God calls her to go, she can leave you with them. Now, some of you are going, It can be done. I've done it. It can be done. Do you understand? We got to go and make a difference in the kingdom, because we can't store up treasures here. You can't take those with you. But you'll never forget those eyes, those hearts, those songs, those stories. Or even the people you bring home. People who end up coming, and you're changing lives and changing families. All right? Now, having said that,
Our worship is the fourth one. But the church has lost its party. We come, we sit, we stare, and you know what we do? We pat ourselves on the bottom because we're here. Right? Don't we do that? You know, Craig, don't get on my case. I'm here every Sunday. Do you understand? I'm here, so that's a good thing, right? No. It's an average thing. To be here is average. You were at the pool this week. You were at work this week. You can be at a graduation ceremony. You can be at a wedding. You can be at a funeral. You can be at an 8th grade graduation. You can be at some kind of party for someone who's getting a promotion. What's the difference between those things and this thing? There's a schedule. They sing a couple songs. They have somebody speak. What's the difference between you sitting in this room and us singing a few songs and me speaking and a graduation and a baccalaureate? And we're doing okay. We're getting some teaching. We're changing. But I'm looking you at the eyes and I'm telling you, we are in kindergarten when it comes to worship. And you can say whatever you want to about the big church in the area. Say whatever you want to. But that is one thing. Beyond the lights and beyond the sound and beyond the incredibly talented musicians, that's one thing that they get right. Okay? We're in kindergarten and they're in graduate school. It's that much different. Okay? It is. I go to their worship nights because it fills me. There's no preaching. But just the way that these people honor and bow and sing and cry out to God, I would give anything. And I may schedule this next month or in August. I would give anything for 20 or 30 of you to join me on a Tuesday night at their worship experience and just come and sing and pray for 60 minutes and see what happens to you. It literally fills me up for months. Months. Well, Craig, how do we get there? How do we change this sitting, listening to you, standing when the Baptist guy says to stand, opening the hymnals when it's time? I want you to forget screens. I want you to forget TVs. I want you to forget microphones and forget guitars and forget organs. I want you to forget all that, okay? Those are tools used to take us somewhere. Use whatever tools you want, okay, to get there. But you have to get there. Alright? And we're not getting there anymore. We're doing a process. We get up, we come to church, we sit in the pew, we go home. We serve one week, we come back in here, we sit in the pew, we go home. We stand up, we sit down, we feel a little awkward because we were the only person standing up. We feel a little awkward because we're not standing up. We raise our hands, we don't raise our hands. Steve raises his hands and he realizes nobody can see, so he puts his hand down. I mean, if Steve gets into worship today, the whole Moberly family doesn't know what's going on. But listen to me. The minute we start thinking about those things, worship goes away. Because we're allowing our circumstances in this room to hinder our experience before the God that we're here for anyway. And on a broader scope, that's what happens to our churches out in the world. It happens to individuals in here. We don't mean for it to happen. We don't mean to feel weird. But let me give you an example. When I call you all to come to the altar, you stare at me. Like my puppy when I try to get him to go outside to pee. He just looks at me like, I don't know what you mean. I'm not trying to be mean. That's the way you look. Now, I don't want you to come because I force you to. I want you to learn to come because you're allowed to. Because you're open to. Because you understand that here, I'm not trying to make us Pentecostal. I'm trying to make us free. I'm trying to get us to a point where your wife doesn't feel weird or you don't feel weird. And let me tell you. Let me tell you one that's hard for me. Okay? Let's do some confession. Let's do some, if the pastor opens up, maybe we will. One of the things that I'm not good at, is sitting down and praying, like holding hands, praying out loud on a regular basis with my wife or with my family. Do I believe in it? Absolutely. Am I afraid of it? Absolutely not. But for some reason, it's awkward. It's weird for me. I want to roll over in bed and give my wife a kiss, hug her, tell her I love her, and then we go to sleep. The rolling over and saying, "Let us pray," is probably one of the most spiritual things, one of the most powerful things that I could do. But it's odd for me. I feel weird. I've never felt comfortable with it. I wish I did. Now my kids, every night, I sit with Taysom and we repeat a prayer. We've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now. Every night. But with my wife, with all of them together, even it's getting more and more awkward with my daughter, and I don't know why I feel that way. I don't know why some people can change diapers and it doesn't affect them, and why some people gag out of storm. But you understand that there's a difference. Some can, some can't. I have a problem with that, but I need to force myself past it because you all would agree that it's a fantastic thing for me to pray with my wife or pray with my family. But it's a fantastic thing for you to let go and actually worship. Experience worship instead of watching worship. Get in the game instead of being a fan of the game. There's a huge difference. And it begins with understanding what worship is. Worship comes from two words, all right? And those two words mean worth or worthiness. And ship is like friendship, companionship, of the quality of. The quality of the friend, the quality of the companion, the quality of the courting, all right? The courtship. So it's the quality of worth. When you show up on Sunday morning for what we call worship, and God looks down and watches you and listens to you and feels your heart, if you evaluated how that went for the last 4 weeks in this room, what would He say that you think His value is? His worth. How much does He feel like He's worth to you by what happens in this room for 45 minutes? You guys just look like you got hit by a truck. Maybe you did. If you ask yourself by your singing, "Well, Greg, I can't sing." I'm not asking that. Nobody's asking you to be able to sing. We're asking you to worship. We're asking you to be in awe of God and then express it through prayer, express it through offering, express it through communion, express it through song, express it through the spoken word, express it through listening, learning, taking notes, express it through awe of Him. I quote the scripture all the time. Stephen and I were talking this morning, and it just fires me up. When I consider your heavens, when I think about everything that's out there, the works of your hands, that Saturn, which Andy drew on paper this morning to give to Steve, that's Saturn, okay? And when I consider what you did and how they're tethered together and they never run into each other and how they shine and they never burn out and how they came out of you and how there's massive galaxies beyond this, and I'm going to come back in one individual day. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of God that you would visit him, that you would send your Son when you hear it on the radio. I'll be 100% honest. I'm not a fan of Christian radio because I feel like it's canned. I have a lot of friends who are Christian writers and artists, and I love them very much. But it's like that, those country songs that the 6 of them play and they're all really the same song. Have you ever seen that? It's unbelievable. Look it up. 6 country songs in one. Google it. And they're all run together and it's the same song. 6 different bands, 6 different singers. It's unbelievable. I feel like Christian music is kind of that way too. Like we're second rate. Like we don't have those quality writers. We don't have those quality rappers. We don't have the quality musicians. We don't have, and I know we do, and I know that God made us to. But why is it second rate? But I want to encourage you to do this. Turn to Christian radio. Not to support it. Don't care. I mean that. Don't care. What I do care about is something will happen to you as you hear those words. Something will happen to you as you listen to Good, Good Father, as you listen to Better Is One Day in Your Courts, as you listen to Give Us Clean Hands, Give Us Pure Hearts. Do you realize that it's Scripture? when you're starting to sing those songs, you're actually quoting and memorizing Scripture. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts, let us not turn our souls to another. Straight out of the Psalms! He appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, preached among the nations, was believed on by the world, taken up into glory. My King is the Rock, and the Rock is the Lamb, and the Lamb is the one. Straight out of Scripture. Not even turned any. Straight out of Scripture. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and faints for you. Straight out of Scripture. I encourage you to let God's Scripture fill you up. Try it. For the next 4 weeks. For the next 4 weeks, when you get in the car, just the weekend if you want to, all day Saturday and Sunday mornings on your way here, try having it on Christian radio and see what it does to your worship in this room. Next, focus. What are you focusing on? Let me tell you what people focus on. Man, that was a good sermon! Not very often, but sometimes. Man, I absolutely love that song Amber sang this morning. I love that song Carrie sang this or playing this morning. I love that song. I wish we would do this song. I hope that George is leading today. Do you hear what you're talking about? There is nothing about, man, I get the chance to celebrate the God who woke me up today. Man, I get the chance to be in the room with other people who are praising God today. They just want you to be here. We've got that part down. But honestly, we're failing in the applause of heaven, in the applause of God, in the how we go out. And I realize it's not just going to happen today. I get it. I get that you're not going to change today and stand up and get a little Pentecostal for me. I get it. But I'm praying. I'm praying that you turn your focus off of the fact that we don't have a full band, or off of the fact that we're not doing the organ anymore, or off of the fact that I don't have a tie on, or off of the fact that we have a clear stage instead of a pulpit, or off of the fact that we're not passing the offering plates or passing the communion around. None of that should alter you. You know why? Because if you're looking at Jesus, you're missing everything else. If you're really focused in on Jesus, none of the rest of it is going to matter. And we've created a culture that Isaiah talked about. And I want, Stephen and I, again, we were talking this morning. I can't believe how amazing it was as I looked at the scripture in 1 Peter, and then I found a scripture in Isaiah, and then Stephen was talking about another scripture in Isaiah, and he said, man, these are just six chapters apart. And so I want you to listen to how he felt about this, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah the son of Amoz during the reign of Uzziah, Joshua, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Listen. Here's what he feels about these people. Hear, O heaven, listen, O earth, the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Do you hear what he said there? He said, the dogs and the cats know me better than you do. The leaves on the trees reach out to me better than you do. All sinful nation, people loaded with guilt, brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, they have forsaken the Lord and have spurned the holy city. Zion is left like a shelter in the vineyard, like a hut in the fields. Unless the Lord Almighty had left such a virus, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you hear what's going on? He's saying, you come into church, but you're living a life that I can't even fathom. And then you're saying these words that don't even have any meaning. This is an abomination to me. To the point that Sodom and Gomorrah, he leveled. He destroyed. He killed everybody in them, okay? He's like, I'm that far away from that. over this fakeness that you have. And I know some of you are like, but Craig, it's pretty good around here. We're not fake. Listen, this, as soon as we think that this is as good as it gets, we fail. As soon as I'm not challenging you to draw nearer, to reach further, to worship harder, to acknowledge greater, we have failed. We're never going to get all the way. I'm going to keep on pushing. Because God wants to make us something great. God wants to break us so hard and change us over. This is the same verse and passage, just 5 chapters later. Isaiah. In the year of the Lord, in the year the King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. See, I've been watching people in the tabernacle. I've been watching them fake their sacrifices. I've been watching them buy cattle and kill it, buy drugs and kill it. I've been watching them go through the motions and sit in the pews. But what I saw, high and exalted, the Lord seated on the throne, the train of his robe filled in the temple. Above him were 2 seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty." But if you don't walk in here ready to be in the presence of God, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power. You know why we don't break out in song when I do? Do you know why you didn't just break out in song? Because you're not sure if he's here or not. That's kind of offensive, preacher. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's a story in the Bible about people who say and people who do. Guy goes and asks the son to do something. The son says, yeah, I'll do it. He never gets it done. The guy goes and asks his son. He says, no, I won't do it. He goes and does it. He says, which one was really obedient to the father? Which one really acted like the son is supposed to act? I don't have a question one. If I went to 75 of the 80 people sitting in this room, then you would say, sure, God's here. Act like it. Act like the master of the universe. I'm not talking about He-Man. Act like the creator of the universe who could smite you in a moment, who could rip your children away from you in the blink of an eye, who could not allow you to wake in the morning. I said smite. Act like he's sitting next to you. Act like you want your children to act when they really know God. Cry out his name. Reach out for him. Let him know who you are. It is a matter of the heart. It is affected by what you do all week long, who you serve all week long, how you give credit all week long. And here's the thing. When you were chosen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm not going to find you because I'm trying to find you. It basically says we have been chosen to declare. You listening? Chosen to declare His Majesty the minute you are called to Him. All right? The minute you are called to His side, to be one of His children, you are chosen to declare His good works, His greatness, to worship Him. You were made to worship. You now are made to worship. You now are called to love. You now are forgiven and free. Ah! It's all over the place, but it's commonplace. And that makes us worship a common God. And that's not true. He's incredibly uncommon. He's amazing. He's wonderful. He's indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you call them by name. You are amazing, God. Come on. He is worthy of our... I'll give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship. You alone, what are worthy of? Come on. God is here. And He's got to pull it out of us. Do you understand? I'm not talking about just singing. Part of it. You understand? I'm not talking about preaching. It's just a part of it. Worship has nothing to do with preaching, but preaching has to do with worship. Worship has nothing to do with singing, but singing has something to do with worship. Worship is not something that we do. It's something that overflows out of us. It's not an act. It's a reaction. It's a response to what God has done for us. If God watched your response, what would people think He had done for you? That's the question this morning. If God watches your response every Sunday morning and the camera's trained on you and the God of the universe plays it back and watches how you worship Him, how you give to Him, how you serve Him, how you pray for Him, how you let other people dictate your worship, if He watches it, how much does He think you love Him? How much does He think you worship Him? How much does He think you believe in Him? To who He is. That's it. Your reaction to getting to be with Him. Here's what we're going to do.
I'm not going to beg, and I don't want it to be fake. But we're going to create an atmosphere for the next 10, 20, 30 minutes. Okay? I'm going to help by guiding you. I can't help you take in the scenery. I can't make the mountain or the sunset prettier or less pretty. I can just take you there and let you look, let you experience, give you a chance to be in awe. I'm going to be your guide. And I'm going to have several people using their gifts and talents, hopefully with their hearts changed in the last few minutes, not ready to sing in front of you, not ready to play for you, not ready to not make a mistake, but simply ready to give of their talents, to give of their rhythm, to give of their hearts to worship Him. And I'm going to call you to worship. We're going to sing a little. We're going to pray a little. We're going to listen a little. We're going to study a little. We're going to take communion together. We're going to take offering together. And it's not going to happen like it normally does. There it is. When you're ready, you can feel it. When you're ready, you can pray. This whole area is free. When you're ready, you can commune. Anytime in the next few minutes. Anytime. Okay? I'm just going to be your guide. Close your eyes. Glad you're alive. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? What makes you happy? Think about that. Is it a baby boy or a baby girl? Is it a car? Is it your church? Can you make a long list of things that you're thankful for this morning? Can you? Think about those things and who gave them to you. Think about those things and who offered them to you. Keep your eyes closed and think about, you know, I guess as kids it was called count your blessings. But as the music starts to play and as Amber starts to sing, you think about those things and who gave them to you. Your good, good Father, who wants nothing more than to love you and to be passionate about you. Does He want you to stand? Does He want you to sit? Does He want you to kneel at His altar? Does He want you to humble yourself in His face? There are two words in the Old Testament and the New Testament for worship, all right? Two words that are used. One word means to kneel before, to humble before, to be in such awe and reverence. The other actually is a word that is translated sometimes worship and sometimes serve. It's translated as both. So worship involves humbling yourself and it involves totally giving of yourselves, committing. How are you going to commit to worship? How are you going to celebrate God this morning in worship? How are you going to let the person next to you affect your worship? How are you going to let them acknowledge your worship? Can you do it? Can you act like you and God are the only ones in the room? And can you make use of all of the space in this place, of all of the resources in this place, of all of the time that we have right now to give of ourselves to Him?